Sabbath blessings. If everyone is capable of getting on their knees, please do so. We're going to pray. And if you're not, don't worry. Your Father knows. Everything's okay. It always reminds me of people that were joining us for church, and there's some probably still doing it in their trucks. You know, they're over-the-road drivers, you know. Not easy to kneel down in a truck. So if you can kneel, please do so. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for blessing us with your presence, especially during the children's study. Thank you so much for that and for all the blessings, the praises, the prayer requests, that are, as well as that are being put in there now. Thank you so much, Father, for loving us and helping us stay on the path with a hedge of angels all around us and a well-lit path, thanks to your scripture. Thank you so much for that. And thank you for blessing us with your presence all throughout this gathering right now and blessing us all with the changing of the showbread, giving us more that we're going to need in these coming days. And thank you for giving us, when that latter rain falls, everything we need, including courage, wisdom, discernment, more faith, everything, so that we'll have no issue whatsoever as to go forth and to proclaim the loud cry so as to bring them in. And we offer this prayer and praise unto you in the name of your precious Son, our Savior, and our King for all eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Just thinking, you know, wouldn't it have been nice if, but then it would have been outside as well, and it probably wouldn't have worked out well. But to have Jesus visit each generation, if you will, physically. But he has done so spiritually, so we don't need it. Because I was thinking about that last night, too, in regards to an atheist, how they just can't see what we see. You know, because there's an awful lot of atheists out there now, and it's all because of churches like the SDA Church or the Catholic Church or some of the or the other types like Westboro and stuff like that, where they make Christianity look so evil and so bad, you know, and so mediocre. And in other words, it's not Christianity, it's churchianity. And they're all in it for the money. All of them have a 501c3. They can't even hide that lie. They try, but they get caught every time. So anyway, this week, and thank you by the way, I have received comments and emails from people saying it's okay when I go over time, because what else are we going to do on Sabbath? And it really blessed my heart when I got a note from a brother in the faith, in fact, a handwritten note. And a blessing that he sent. And I thought, that really made my day. You know, because I remember churches, I used to stand in front of the people on pulpits and stuff, and it always tore at me. And I was always so tempted to, make a loud noise, you know, accentuate a point during a sermon, smacking the Bible on the pulpit to make a loud cracking noise to wake the people up that I could see. You know, the people next to them can't tell they're nodding off, but when you're on a pulpit, you could see everybody. You could see them all nodding, you know, all the people nodding. And it was only like two or three, but it always hurt. But I was always reminded of something a preacher told me many years ago when they do that. He says, they can close their eyes, but they can't close their ears. And so, praise the Lord. But anyway, do you all recall how when we studied on the sanctuary that we learned that the sacrifice that was to be offered for our sins had to be perfect and without blemish? We learned that because of the way the flesh fights against our, you know, the human spirit, if you want to call it that, our conscience or whatever, because we're always fighting and, you know, trying to overcome the sins the flesh seeks to do each and every day. And the reason the sacrifice the people of God had to present long ago was to be perfect was because Jesus, who came to teach us how to live a sinless life. He was back then and still is perfect. And because he never sinned, he was the only one that could die for us, because if anyone else died, they would just stay dead and never be able to be a payment for our sins. Kind of like the generic spelling of the word Savior without the U in it. Like, most people don't even know that. Most people spell Savior S-A-V-I-O-R. And when you spell it that way, that has to do with somebody, like, dies for you by pushing you out of the way of a speeding bus, and then they get hit by the bus and die. Or they push you out of the way of a bullet, and they take the bullet and die. That's a Savior, S-A-V-I-O-R. But when you spell S-A-V-I-O-U-R, dictionary will even show that that only has one definition, Jesus Christ. That's it. You know. So with that in mind, notice what it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Okay, let me get the little graphic up there. I think I changed. Oh, yeah, I did. I changed the sermon notes. So, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Okay, waiting on somebody to put it. Oh, thanks, Joe. I just got the. I'm going to upload that. Okay. Did Brother Sean miss out on internet today or something? Maybe he's got a bad connection or he's not here. Anyway, so Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 to 5 says, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will." Oh, good. Yeah, Sean is here. Okay, yeah, his keyboard messed up. All right. Plus, we got that lag thing. It's natural. It's supposed to be that way. It's anywhere from 5 to 18 seconds. And so I just got to be a little more patient. But anyway, before moving on, in regards to Ephesians, what was just read here, some in today's world actually believe that some are predestined to gain heaven and some are predestined to gain hell. But that is not what's being said here. And there's a yes and no kind of a way to answer that theology, if you will. Because our God is an awesome God who, when he looks upon us, he can clearly see how, you know, some are going to make choices for salvation and some are going to prefer damnation. And it's not that they were separated wherein some are created to be absolutely unequivocally headed to heaven and some are purposely created to die in hellfire. It's just that we all have free will and God knows who's going to seek salvation and who will prefer to die because they cannot stand to live in a place where sin is not allowed. Plus, we have to also keep in mind, yeah, he knows the end from the beginning, but it's because of his wisdom being off the chart. Something mankind can't even contemplate. Our God is awesome. There's no way to define it in any other way. And so what I mean by all that is, take, for example, like if he sees into the future and he sees how he knows that you're going to make the bad choices. You still have free will. You can still change your mind and repent and everything like that. And he sees two roads in front of you. You make the choice, though. He gives that choice to you because we have the free will. But he can look at the way your great-great-great-great-grandfather did something and then how that affected his son and how that affected his son. He can just look down the line and see the mindsets of different people. And so he can use them in whatever way he chooses when they're born. You know. So the thing here is, all have free will, but at the same time, all are given the exact same love and the exact same truth from the Lord, which hopefully moves them into seeking him so as to not just do what's, you know, good for themselves, but also to do that which glorifies the Father so that even more souls are going to gain salvation. And there's all different ways of looking at, like with talents as well. It could be anything from singing to being good, like a good supervisor or organizer, if you will, to help manage, if you will, some workers that are doing the work of the Lord. And so when seeking to make the heart much more serious in their desire to become Christ-like, Paul said this in Romans chapter 8. And I'll read all of these. By the way, this is verses 22 to 29, so I don't know, I'm probably going to stop in between some spots. But I know for a fact one of them, because I can see it right now, but Romans 8, verses 22 to 29, it says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. In other words, we're all dealing with this all at the same time. I mean, look around. The entire world is groaning as we speak. I mean, it's really, really bad out there. But most people won't see that as biblical in any way, shape, or form because they're not taught properly. And they don't even want to learn properly. That's what I praise the Lord about, how God's people early on, myself included, wanted to know truth a little more than it supposedly was being taught. And so anyway, verse 23 says, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies," what he's saying here. And I can attest to this, as I'm sure many of you can, that we all want to get off this sinful planet so as to be at home in New Jerusalem. And praise God, it's a lot sooner than most people even contemplated. Right? And so that being the case, it's nice to see that we have a desire in our hearts that echo Paul when he was looking at all those poor souls wandering around without hope. He goes on to say in verse 24, "For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for?" In other words, be patient. Wait on the Lord, who's going to bless you as he promised. I mean, seriously, if you can see what you hope for now, that means you already have it. But since Christ has not yet returned, we still have a blessed hope. We know he's coming. We know it's a done deal. We know it's happening. We have perfect faith in that area. I mean, that's the definition of faith. He said it, we believe it, that settles it. But living in the last days as we are, no one can doubt the world has finally flipped upside down in morality to the point truth is a lie and lie is the truth now. I mean, the media alone has proven that with their fake news and stolen elections, that the lie has become their foundation, which was prophesied. We are in the age of lying. I've been saying that since I left the Catholic Church 37 years ago. So we have been so blessed, more blessed than any other Christians before us. Even if we don't get the latter rain, let's say we die before the latter rain falls, we're still more blessed than any other Christians because we have eyes and we see that what never before any Christian has seen. Christian prophecy has been so easily seen today, and this is why the Bibles are so attacked. Satan did all he could to rewrite the Bible because he knew that there's going to be a stack of prophecies. Like even Sister White said, stuff's going to happen rapidly. So he's got to have his end run there. He's got to be able to, detour the eyeballs, And so that's why he wrote the Bibles into so many different versions, because even Satan knows the knowledge has been increased among God's people, as the prophet Daniel said in chapter 12, and we see things happening that mankind never saw before. And so, the enemy of souls, he needed to hide all that by putting bogus Bibles in the hands of those people that will actually open Bibles, but they're so lazy in their study. Even in their study, because some people won't open up the Bible and study it because they're just too lazy, or they're too career minded, or too busy, whatever the case may be. It's usually laziness, because now you got some time off. Yeah, I'm not going to study. Man, come on, I got out of high school or college. Satan will use whatever excuse he can to make it look like it's always going to be a burden, and it's not. I can't wait in the mornings. I was just talking to the Lord about this earlier in prayer before I opened his Word. About it's exciting to see how he opens it up even more and more and more. I mean, he's been doing that for me and all of you for the since we opened it. But now that we're so close to the end, oh man, is he opening it? It's just like shocking me. And it's a good shock. It's a good shock. And I so praise God that I use eSword now instead of that God's Word 2.0 from years ago, because that had crashed by now. Because eSword, you can dump all sorts of notes in there and it won't crash. It's got an open-ended database. And so we have been blessed because we have believed. And because we have believed, we have been given wisdom to understand his word, and especially the prophetic light. We could have been Christians 200 years ago and still been blessed with salvation, but being a Christian today means we will all have a prophetic eye, for we are in the very last hours of Earth's history, in with that, our Father would never let us stand here confused. I mean, he wrote the prophecies for his people. He didn't write them just to get his Bible to match the candlestick in the holy place that has 66 items on it. You know, because the Bible has 66 books, which, by the way, proves the Apocrypha is bogus. Because if you add to or take away from the Bible, you're going to be out, you're going to be above or below 66 books of the Bible. And then the candlestick would come off as a false prophecy, when in fact we know it isn't. And so we believe him and his word while being alive, when more prophetic events are fulfilling right before our eyes than any other time in history. We are the very ones he wrote the final prophecies for. Let that sink in. Because you're not alive 200 years ago. You're alive now. And he's coming soon. Very soon. In our generation, in fact. Because everything's already set in place. All they got to do is try to figure out when they want to do this and when they want to do that. Yeah, they're making plans for 2027. You know, the plans to enforce the mark with the buy and sell. And they're also making plans for 2030 for the one world government. But if it doesn't match our father's plans, it's just not going to work. But the fact is, the plans are there. We don't know the day or the hour, but we can know the season. We know when it's close. And it's closer than ever. And then when you look at Comet Encke, which is about to, in 2030, it's going to cross our path. It's not going to hit us. The comet won't hit the planet, is what they're saying. It's the tail that's going to hit the planet in 2030. The thing is, the tail has a 20-mile-wide hailstone in it. That's Plague 7. And again, I'm not setting dates. I'm just telling you what they are saying. The Pope wants 2027. The Pope wants 2030. And scientists say 2030 for the comet. So if we're not going to judge righteously, well then, we're not going to be ready. But we can lose all of this, just as all this knowledge, all this wisdom, all these blessings, we can lose all of it, just as the Jews lost it 2,000 years ago and the SDAs lost it recently when they bowed to Rome, decades ago. And when we look around today, every moment of the Lord every movement of the Lord throughout the church has also fallen short because the people in the churches chose sin instead of the love of God, especially as soon as a reformer dies. Let's say Martin Luther dies, Ellen White dies, and so on and so forth. That just, even with the Wesleyans and that. But just as we have to be patient and wait for our Lord's return, we also need to be patient waiting on our prayers being answered. And Paul says in verse 25, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And there's the key, that patience thing. I mean, here's where many people fail. How many of us have prayed for something, but because it didn't come when we prayed that day or even years later, we lose all hope and then give up praying for it? Remember the squeaky wheel gets the grease? Yeah. Remember what Jesus said about that one unjust king who finally decided, I'm going to take care of this woman's issues, because if I don't, she's going to keep yapping away, causing me, distress. And it's not that we're doing that to our Lord. He's more or less just saying, don't give up. It shows you're serious about getting that prayer answered. Some are even going to go back into sin when they think that the prayer's not being answered, because they think God doesn't hear it, let's say. Oh, man, Satan, that's where he hangs his horn. I mean, he thrives here. He knows that when the Lord tarries in the answers, Satan can make the impatient soul think, either God gave up on them or he simply didn't exist, and then they go into a life of sin only to end up in hellfire at the end. Because even as a babe in Christ, many years ago, I remember, especially when I was doing this work, computer work and stuff like that for other ministers, I always saw, other people getting their prayers answered and mine weren't getting answered, some of the big ones in the speed I wanted them answered. And I always thought that, there's different plateaus of Christianity is what I actually thought. And so they were more worthy of their prayer answer than I was. And that's how Satan got me to be a complete idiot for, I don't know how many years that went on, 3 or 4 years in my early walk, until I realized, no, it doesn't matter. God's not a respecter of persons. So, but if the person is patient and they stay in the Word, they're not only going to grow in faith. Paul goes on to say here that in verse 26 and on, he says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself it's maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And a lot of people take that one out of context because, oh, that's the unknown heavenly language of tongues. Nope. You can't build a doctrine with one verse. It can't be done. So anyway, verse 27 says, and in he that searcheth the heart, you know, the Father or the Son, or even the Holy Spirit because he's in there, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You know, remember this verse in Jeremiah 29:11? This one seems to be coming up a lot. I remember one time it came up when years ago, you know, it came up like a ton of golden bricks. It's just been a blessing ever since. But Jeremiah 29:11, it says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So that kind of sums up what Paul was talking about here a second ago. But Paul goes on to say in verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now notice what it says here in Review and Herald on June 19th, 1890. It says, though the moral image of God was almost obliterated by the sin of Adam, through the merits and power of Jesus, it may be renewed. Man may stand with the moral image of God in his character, for Jesus will give it to him. Unless the moral image of God is seen in man, he can never enter the city of God as a conqueror. Again, that's Review and Herald, June 10th, 1890. With all the blessings of being in the last days, you know, when, oh, let me put that in a room just in case, because I know Sean does the video, scripture, but let me put it in the room for everybody there so that you can see it on the stream. Oh, no, I don't have it on the stream. Well, let me go back to the, oops, that's the wrong one. Go to the chat room for the SDR kids, and then now you'll see it as soon as it shows up on the stream, because we're, you know, 5 to 10 second lagged. Okay, there it is. It's there now. Okay, so with all the blessings of being in the last days wherein we can see things most people just can't contemplate, with all these blessings also comes the test most of mankind never experienced, especially for those chosen to be in the Gideon band. Remember this verse in Ecclesiastes 1, verse 18? Let me check it out. Ecclesiastes 1:18 says, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Now, this is a bittersweet declaration here. It's not to say, oh, well, then forget it. I don't want more wisdom. No, you want more wisdom. It's an overwhelming blessing when you get the more wisdom, but with that wisdom comes great responsibility. We have been promised wisdom, and some of us have already begun to receive new understanding that doesn't contradict old light. That's the key, Matthew. What is it? Isaiah 8:20. That would more or less cover the bases on that one too. No, you know, old light doesn't contradict new light, or new light doesn't contradict old light. We're not Muslims, you know. That's how the Muslims do it, because their Bible, their Quran, was written by the Vatican, and so when they come up with a new agenda in Rome over the centuries, they would add things to the Quran and say, and then some of the Muslims say, oh, wait a second, you know, I've been studying this book for years and that contradicts completely what's said in the earlier versions of Surah. And so they go, oh, no, the way the Quran is structured is if there's something, the newer verses hold credence over and above the old. and that's how they teach it. And they believe it because the lie has become the norm. That's how easy it is to do what they're doing today with the politics and everything else that's going on in the preachers, the pulpits and stuff like that, is because Satan finally got everybody out there to be comfortable in the lies, and so more lies ain't going to make a big difference to them. I mean, look at the General Conference of the SDA Church when they were asked about how they have Sunday-keeping churches in the SDA Church. They said, nah, no big deal. Praise God they put that in writing, because I was able to make a video about it. But we've been promised wisdom, and some of us have been getting new and better understanding as to regards to what's in the scriptures, and so as to better prepare us for the latter rain, so as to have all that is promised when the Lord decides to send it. He has to make sure that we can understand it and receive it. You know, hence the reason for the health message. Oh, whoa, Second Nick, you went way off on the left. No. If you're eating garbage, your brain ain't going to work right. You're not going to be able to understand the way he needs you to understand. So you got to reform there too. And if a smoker can quit smoking, and within, I think it's like 6 months, pink the lungs back up, where they get pinked up, because right now if you're smoking, your lungs are pretty much filled with nicotine, and so they're kind of brown, right? And especially if you do like a watermelon diet for a while and flush the system with watermelon, yeah, you pink up those lungs pretty quick. I remember reading about that when I was in my 20s or something like that. I wasn't a Christian yet when I read it. But, the body, the Lord has made us, well, not completely similar to the planet, but in a way you can see it, how our body does recycle and repair itself. Hence the reason for drinking a lot of water, because if you don't put a lot of water in your system, the body can't create the chemicals to fight the disease. And that's why they try to put what they call vaccines, but those things aren't vaccines that they're putting in people. Those things are actually causing problems in people's bodies. It's not designed to help you. It's designed to turn you into a customer for the AMA. They've been doing that since the 50s. They ruined my life. But that doesn't matter. Christ will be here, and I'll get my new body, and everything will be great for eternity. And I don't want to deal with any doctor coming up with a booster shot like he did when I was 10. But we need to understand that with wisdom comes sorrow. And it's only sorrowful because we see how loved ones, or even complete strangers, because we have a love for everybody, we see how they ignore the truth we understand. We see what they can't see, and therefore grieve deeply for them, because we know that until they accept Jesus Christ as Lord, and not just giving them lip service, they're actually going to be refusing his gift of salvation, and that's just hard to watch, especially if it's somebody you love that just won't grasp Jesus the way he's supposed to be grasped and embraced and followed and obeyed. But unless they really do, because seriously, brothers and sisters, how many have seen people accept Christ as Lord? And 50% of them, they go, yeah, okay, it's obviously. I mean, you don't say this out loud because you don't want to, but you can kind of discern, okay, there's some fake Christianity going on there, but hopefully maybe it'll click. In a few days, at least they got their foot in the door. Maybe the Lord can start watering some of them seeds, or giving increase onto the seeds. We do the watering. But he sends us to do the watering, so he's involved irregardless. But some, you can really tell, bam, fruit day one. And good fruit, you know. But this sorrow also comes to our own hearts due to our own failings. Even a prophet of old saw what we are about to see. But in more clarity, of course, when it comes to, even if we are called to do a mighty work for the Lord, we're still unworthy of the task at hand, and this is why we need a humble heart, so as to allow the Holy Spirit absolute reign within our hearts, so as to do the task at hand. Still, while doing so, I am sure we can and will echo Isaiah 6:5. I mean, everybody's going to do it. We're all going to do it. It's if you're really humble and you understand. And the Lord revealed to me, and I praise his name, because this is what keeps me humble. And I'm not kidding when I believe in my heart that I'm dumb as a bag of rocks, because when I can't memorize anymore. I was able to do it two whole pages, front, you know, in other words, a leaf. I memorized the front and the back of an entire 8.5 by 11 sheet of notebook paper that my dad wrote out. It was a script that he gave me, and I was like 18 because his partner just had a heart attack, and so I kind of had to take over my dad's north side office while he did the loop office, because his partner, Julie, his name is Julie, Italian guy, Julie DeGrasse, had a heart attack, and so I was there for 4 years, and so I had to memorize that sales script, and it worked well, you know, never lost it, but I don't want to talk about that. But the fact that I can't memorize now, but the verses come to mind when I need them. Oh, it just, it keeps you humble, because I've seen people that had this ability. I've got a little brother, in fact, that can, I don't know if he could still do it, but I remember years ago he had that ability to chapter and verse. Even the prophets of old, even the apostles didn't do that, because the Bible wasn't, you know, outlined chapter and verse. They would just say, oh, Isaiah said that, or Jeremiah, or they would say Jeremy, and the New Testament would say this. And because most people, especially when you talk to the Jews with their bar mitzvah situation where they had already had to have memorized the first five books of the Bible and some went further, yeah, they said, okay, yeah, you're right, Jeremy did say that, right? Because they knew it. It was in there. They've read it. They've studied it. They've been doing it all their lives, every day, you know, ever since, you know, the word was written. And so, but today, you know, it's, I mean, I can do that. I could say, yeah, Jeremiah said this or Isaiah said that. But people today, they want chapter and verse. Oh, well, show me where it says that. And sometimes they will do that to you on the street. Throw up a quick prayer, because I saw it happen. This is the first time I ever saw the promise of John 14:26 come to fruition right in front of my face, where the verse, the Lord didn't even give me the verse. He told me to go to chapter 14 of Matthew and look up to the last verse of chapter 13, because he knew the Bible that I had in my hand was not my Bible. The kid just jammed it in my face and said, show me in here. It was one of those little green Gideon you know, pocket Bibles, and it was just amazing. And so but still, you know, my point in all this is what Isaiah said. You know, he says, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And so it was obvious that, and it is obvious now, it was obvious for him and it's obvious for us, that the Lord is going to be speaking through us soon, but we have to be able to allow him to speak. And the only way to have the script, if you will, the memorized script, even without memorizing it, because they didn't have to write down books, you know, up until Moses' day, because, you know, like Adam and Eve, they would echo what, like Adam would tell his sons what he said, and his sons would tell their sons and go on from there. And the mind was perfect back then. And I'm sure there's certain areas of my brain that have the verses locked down in there, but I can't figure out how to get it out of there. But he does, because he made that brain, all of our brains. And so he can bring whatsoever he has said unto us. But if he hasn't said it, it's not in there to pull up. That's why you got to study the Bible daily. So in closing, and I think it wise to repeat just a few powerful statements that we just read so as to realize what's being said here. The Lord said through Paul that the Spirit will help us in our infirmities. And he that searches our hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of our God. And we know that all things work together for them that love God. Isn't that amazing? Everything is designed around us, because he needs us to do this or he needs us to do that. That's why certain things are not allowed to happen, even in politics, because it'll harm his people. You know, like when those plagues come, it's going to be scary, scary off the chart, but not for us. See, that's where people, that's where those, you know, the false prophets are out there, you know, the wolves. Oh, it's going to be scary. Time of tribulation. Great tribulation. Actually, that happened, you know, 538 to 1798. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. It's going to be intense, but it's not going to be fearful in that manner where we're worried that we're going to go to hell. We are going to have, you know, concerns, because Satan's going to never stop throwing stuff into our ears, because he's going to be unrelenting until we start ascending. And then, of course, oh, the silence is going to be heavenly. But even then, before we ascend, we're going to have to be changed, right? In the twinkling of an eye, if you're part of the Gideon band, or if you came out of the grave, you've been changed. So you don't have to deal with. What I can't wait for is the tinnitus to go away and the color blindness is gone. And of course, the other issues that I've been dealing with ever since I got that booster shot when I was 10. And so, all of this that we see going on in the world today, is even with the social distancing and the masks and the vaccines and even the talk of this climate change in 2027 or the one world government in 2030, it's all designed to not only help us see the signs of the times and get ready for what's going on, it's also designed to get us to better understand what we need to do. But what he's giving us now is just, you know, let the books, if you will, fall like the leaves of autumn, and we're doing that. And so that because we're obedient and he's watching us do this, he's going to give us something else to do. You got to know that. As a matter of fact, he has been revealing to my wife and I that there's something super duper big planned for us, that we're going to be used in a mighty way, and he's even given us the means by which to do it, but he hasn't told us what it is yet. So we're just sitting here waiting on him. And so again, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And Jeremiah was inspired by our God to say that I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So amen and amen and amen. And I hope and pray you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.